Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Less than a year from now, we'll have elected our next president, and Republicans and Democrats alike seem to be hoping it isn't Donald Trump. After the Donald's latest call to keep Muslim migrants from entering the country, he's refusing to back down, doesn't care what his critics say, and is claiming, quote, I'm doing what's right. Among his critics are fellow Republicans, most recently House Speaker Paul Ryan. What is happening to the Republican Party? What will Donald Trump do next? Let's talk politics today. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, the phones are loading up already. We have two people on the phone who are interested in doing some commentary with us and telling us what they think. We've gotten a lot of calls today, a lot of people really wanting to check in. But one of the things that I've been finding is that people have been saying to me that basically I was wrong to say that Trump could end up as president of the United States. Folks, I'm always going to tell you what I believe. I didn't believe he could make headway with the Republicans, but he can and did. I do believe that he's 3 points separating him from, in some polls, from Hillary Clinton. I think when fear takes over, anything can happen. And I think that's exactly what's happened here, as it was in France when the Le Pen party took over or seems to be poised to take over the government, the whole government. This is once regarded as an outrageous, outlandish, anti-Semitic group of people. And yet the same kinds of concerns we are hearing from many people in this country are there. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again, a good deal of the sort of fascistic, stuff we are hearing today, we have heard in the past, and we know how it works. So let us not assume that nothing can happen, because it can. And if you don't agree with me, you're free to say it. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on.
Hi. Thank you, Alan.
Sure.
Donald Trump has called for a complete and total shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until we can, quote, figure out what's going on.
Correct.
My response is we should have a complete and total shutdown of media coverage of Donald Trump until he can figure out what's going on, about which obviously he does not have a clue.
So you have that, your tongue is in your cheek, because you know very well that we have a First Amendment to the United States Constitution. Not only that.
I'm not saying the government should shut down the media. I'm saying the media should restrain themselves from covering this.
They should commit suicide.
Bully, megalomaniac, who is utterly ignorant of the substance of the issues he talks about.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I just don't agree with you. I don't think the media is going to do it. It's not that they should tone it down. They're not going to do it. In fact, they fight like hell to get them because they know that their numbers go up, their advertising goes up, and, you know, that's the way they do things, Mark. But I certainly understand your major point here. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Marley in Florence. Marley in Florence, go.
My comment is that Donald Trump's stand on the Syrian migrants, it lacks nuance. You know, it's based on Islamophobia. But really, my concern about the Syrian migrants is that knowing what we know about the nature of 9/11 and knowing what we know about the genesis of ISIS, I mean, you see pictures of ISIS riding in long lines of shiny new Toyota pickup trucks. Where do those Toyota pickup trucks come from? You know, and why would we trust the U.S. State Department and the Department of Homeland Security to vet these migrants properly? That's my comment.
Okay, thank you for your comment. I just want to ask you a question, if I may. What now? Explain to me what the pickup trucks have to do with anything else.
Well, where are these coming from? I mean, where are the Humvees coming from? The ISIS right now is in control of 30 Abrams tanks. Where are those coming from?
Mm-hmm. And as you ask the question, your answer is?
Well, from the Pentagon, from the U.S. State Department. And so why would we then trust the U.S. State Department to vet these Syrian refugees?
Okay, I want to make sure I got this right. You think that while the President of the United States is decrying them, saying we're going to get them, that in fact his own State Department is giving them what they need?
Exactly.
Okay, thanks, Marley. Appreciate your call. All right, let's go to Rob in Beckett, Massachusetts. Rob.
Yes, hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
This is Rob in Beckett, Mass. Of course, the presidential election is 6 months away, but I do have a concern that if Trump should secure the nomination of the Republican Party...
Do you think he can?
I don't know. But if he does, and if he wins... How likely do you think it is that as soon as he took office, the Republican Party and all the Democrats in Congress, both houses, would together vote for an impeachment, and then the vice presidential nominee would automatically become president? We don't need another Bush or Ted Cruz or Sarah Palin or Ben Carlson or any of those people. So, of course, I think we should all vote for Bernie Sanders. But what do you think about sneaking in a presidential, you know, the vice presidential person would then take over? And I don't think the Republicans would have a second thought about impeaching Trump once he got in.
Well, first of all, let me put it this way. I think the nuance here is clear. The Republicans who are speaking out about Trump right now are doing so maybe because they think they're right and he's a terrible man and he's saying some terrible things, or maybe because they want him out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that, you know, this is the first golden opportunity that they've really had in order to, you know, to make some hay with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know that your proposition, which is that as soon as Trump is elected, if he's elected president of the United States, that the Republicans would not be there with him, because I think they will. Remember, the reason that the Republicans love taking the White House is to get the Supreme Court justices.
Sure.
They get all of the people who are the other judges. They get all of the patronage jobs, and there are tens of thousands of them that come with it. Right now, they're running against him. But if he gets elected president, they're going to need him.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it, but I wouldn't put it past them to stick with him if the public still seems to be back behind him. If none of the other candidates 9 months from now are acceptable to the public, and Trump is, they might just go for him, and with the idea of kicking him out as soon as he's sworn in and having their second place person, which could be Bush or any of the other candidates.
Okay, write it down. Put it on a postcard. Let's see it, and then write to me after it happens and say, I told you so, okay?
I don't have to write it down. If it happens, I will say, I told you
You'll
so.
Remind us. Okay, Rob, thanks
okay,
again.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, leaves one free phone. We'll go to Abigail in Kingston. All right, Abigail, your turn.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So much to say on this. First of all, if we look at the word ISIS, it's two is's. I'm being facetious in a way, but what is, and what's happening is the same old story. Scapegoating and belief systems that we don't keep thinking, we believe things, and we don't keep moving and thinking. And language is so very important. And I think that Trump is saying what a lot of people would like to say, because we all have biases. We all
have fears, right?
Yeah, we have fears and all that stuff.
Okay, so Abigail, you got to make it quick, because I'm up against a break here. Go ahead.
Okay, I think Trump is a bit of a thug, and I think he has to calm down. And politically, you're absolutely right, and all that has been said about politics, I think, is right on. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Abigail. You too. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. We have a lot of people on the phone. We have one free phone right now, folks. Use it.
Support comes from ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.ClipCentric.com. Curtis Lumber, specializing in kitchen design, featuring Cambria quartz countertops, Murillat cabinetry, and more. Designer consultations available, CurtisLumber.com. Christmas in Little Falls, this Saturday, December 12th, live music, artisans fair, indoor farmers market, 5K run, and Santa 2. Events schedule at ChristmasInLittleFalls.com. Capital Roots, celebrating 40 years of providing fresh food and green spaces for the Capital Region. Grow, educate, provide. CapitalRoots.org for details. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Picturing Winter, with paintings by Winslow Homer, Andrew White, Grandma Moses, and more American artists. ArkellMuseum.org.
And we are back. And thank you so much, Zachary, for playing that wonderful music. We'll go to Mike in Glens Falls. Mike, you're on. Hey, Mike. Mike in Glens Falls. Are you there? Are you there? I keep pressing five. That's the number I'm pressing. Oh, I don't know. Okay, well, anyway, in any case, it ain't going to be Mike in Glens Falls, so now it's going to be James in Highland. James, you're on. Huh? Something's really not... It says phone here. James, are you there?
Okay, anyway...
James in Highland.
It ain't going to be Mike in
Glens
Falls, so...
Hello?
James, you broke the rule. You're not supposed to listen to the radio. You have to keep your ear to the phone because there's a delay between the two of them. Got it?
This is not Mike.
Who is this? This is James, right?
This is Ann from Ulster County.
Okay, Ann, go ahead. We got you. We'll keep you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. You know, the country's being driven crazy with terrorism everywhere, and then we're told not to be afraid of the people that we suspect are the primary cause of it. Why wasn't the shooting in San Bernardino considered a hate crime? It was a Christmas party of Christians by Muslims.
Okay, and thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go now. Let's hopefully go to Doe in Wendell, Massachusetts. Doe, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering how many people listen to Prairie Home Companion Saturday night, because Garrison Keillor had a great skit where he talked with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump told him that somebody made a bet with him to run, and it was Bill Clinton. He made a bet with him.
So this is a joke. This was a joke. This is satire.
This is a joke.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this was a skit.
Yeah.
And so to do the most outrageous things, say the most outrageous things, and get the whole country in a tizzy over him so that they take attention away from his wife.
Well, you know, anything's possible. I'm never going to say nothing's possible, but it seems to me that all that nonsense that people are putting out there, and I don't mean present company excluded, of course, about how he really, you know, he really doesn't want to be president. He just wants attention. He just wants to sell books. Nonsense. He wants to be president, and I think he has a real good chance, though, of getting there. And by the way, between him and Hillary, 3 percentage points right now.
Yeah.
So it's scary.
It is scary.
Thanks, though. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, two free phones, no, one free phone, and we'll go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, your turn.
Good afternoon, Mr. Shartok.
Hey.
Dr. Shartok, I should say.
No, you should say Alan. Go ahead.
All right, Alan. About your one of your much earlier on callers about, you know, suspicious about where the ISIS is getting their supply of shiny new Toyota trucks and Abrams tanks. Money buys anything. You've got drug dealers in South American countries or Mexico, whatever, buying surplus submarines. You don't think they can't obtain Title pickup trucks with all the oil money they've got, and even Abrams tanks? They're not coming directly from our government. They may have been sold to someone legitimate years ago, and then these fellows buy them off of them afterwards.
Or we do know that a lot of the materials we used were picked up by those groups who were supposedly our, quote, democratic friends.
Right, but, you know, there are other channels. People can buy anything they want if they got enough money for it.
You're right. Jim, thanks for...
Crazy to think our government's aiding him in that way.
Yeah, Jim, you know, everybody's entitled to their to their ideas, and
but
believe me...
Some people like to justify their own, you know, opinions by supplying their own facts somehow.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right, we'll go to Jill in Waterford. Jill, you're on. There are two free phones, one free phone. Jill in Waterford, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
What really scares me is the fact that there are ministers that are espousing Trump's opinions from the pulpit.
Yep.
And there are congregations that are wholeheartedly in favor of it.
Yeah.
And as a church-going Christian woman, that really, really scares me.
Okay. Just so you'll know that when you look at the polls in this race, no matter how people dismiss the Trump people as nutty and all the rest of it, it's about 50-50.
Yeah. Jim. I have to go, Alan. We're having a fire drill. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to James in Highland. James, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
We got disconnected here. How are you, sir?
That's true. Go ahead.
I feel, me personally, that Donald Trump would make an excellent president. And I have to tell you why. He'd make an excellent president because, A, he cannot be bought. He's pretty much self-financing his own candidacy.
Right.
So that kind of takes the money out of the politics. He's also the voice for the silent majority because he's saying things that most of us are saying that are thinking and can't say. I wish he would turn his rhetoric down because he is burning some bridges behind him. You know, if he could tone that down and get more focused on what he's actually going to do and say how he's going to do it, come up with viable plans, I think he's going to win over a lot of intelligent people.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Right now, given the choice, you don't have to answer, but given the choice, would you vote for him?
Absolutely.
I think it's very important that you call, James, because, you know, many of my friends think that nobody out there is taking this guy seriously. And I keep telling you, about half the country is. So I appreciate your call very much, James.
Well, Alan, yes. And I also have to say that my biggest fear is that he's going to say something that's going to kick him away from the Republicans, and he's going to turn around and run as an independent, which is going to take only votes away from whoever's running on the Republican side.
Well, that's their biggest fear. That is their biggest fear. And he keeps raising it with them. He says, if you guys don't give me an even break, I'm going to start a third party. And I'm and look, third party candidates in this country do not win. They don't. We've seen it before, but they sure as hell can stop somebody from being president, as was the case. And I'm sure he's listening right now with Ralph Nader. One can make the argument that the Nader votes, one can make the argument, is what I'm saying, that the Nader votes cost Gore the election. So
I agree.
So, James, thank you very much for your good call. Appreciate it.
And, Alan, just one more thing,
sure,
please.
Of course.
I wish people would stop using the word fear, because I believe there's a lot more of us in this country that are just downright angry and sick and tired of nothing being done. People don't feel safe at home. You know, we're having all these gun-free zones. If you look at a lot of the incidences that's been happening, where have they been happening?
Yeah.
Gun-free zones. You're shooting ducks in a barrel.
Hey, James, you know, crime is actually going down in this country. Murders are going down. So, you know, it's not as if we reached a height of chaos. But thanks, James. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right. We got a lot of email. I'm going to read some of it really quickly, and I'll get it over with. Late Night Talk Show host Bill Maher has openly criticized liberals for defending Muslim refugees without acknowledging they embrace values that are at odds with American societal values. Here's an intelligent man who's in step with Trump. What is your take on it? Also, if a majority favored Trump's narrow-mindedness, what does that say about Americans? I'm going to let that become your comment. Good afternoon. Trump is a gambling man. He's done so successfully in the world of business. This is no different. Trump is gambling with his comments that if some sort of ISIS attack should happen in U.S. soil, then he will win the presidency. Thanks from Mark. And by the way, Mark, I have a feeling that we ain't seen nothing yet. I'm sure that we're going to get other of these copycat things. Jamie says, why cannot the press realize that Donald Trump's campaign is saying any outrageous thing so that the press reports it? Donald believes any publicity is good because the population is more focused on the amounts of hits on an internet search engine than what those hits are about. And then there's much more, but I'm not going to read it too long. Shelby says, I'm just really dismayed by the whole Republican Party right now. I've never been a super liberal, but as the right moved further and further to the right, it feels like I'm being shifted left when I've always thought of myself as a moderate. It's just outrageous and alienating. And that's Shelby from Saratoga. And now we have one free phone, and we will go to Les in Delmar. Okay, Les, you're on.
Thank you. I just wanted to go through, as an historian, some of the other trend lines very quickly. It's not just the Japanese that were affected. In the 1900s, of course, the Eastern Europeans, 1920, Ku Klux Klan, the blacks in the North were treated to being put in ghettos. 1927, immigration stopped from Eastern Europe. 1925, on and on. 1930s, the Italians were affected because Mussolini was running in Italy, and the Italians were put into their placements. 1940s, the Holocaust, etc. So I'm very concerned about the possibility of Trump doing what he's talking about, and other people latching on to it.
Les, you see precedents here with Hitler and other people who started out with much the same type of rhetoric?
That's correct.
Thank you, Les. Appreciate your call. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. And now we will go to Christine in Mount Tremper. Okay, go, Christine.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say I think Trump is pretty insane. And I think that there are crazy, maniacal militia across the United States who will probably back him. But I have faith that we as a United States have more intelligence than that. And when push comes to shove and the elections come around, we will not vote him in. Even if he is nominated, I don't believe that the American public will buy into it in the long run.
You know what? You may be right.
Yeah, and another thing I wanted to know.
But you may be wrong.
I may be wrong. You know, I've been known to be wrong. Another thing I wanted to say is the terrorists that are being recruited by ISIS. ISIS is saying that they're against everything that we stand for here, right? So if they're doing that, why are they recruiting kids and bringing them into five-star hotels? Why are they promising them lives of luxury if they die in suicide bombings and things like that? They're completely hypocritical in everything they're doing. And this is so...
Okay, wait.
If the Muslim...
Whoa.
Muslim religion...
No, wait. My show. Wait a second. I'm asking a question.
Yeah.
The well-known Alan Chartok lie detector on the arm of the ISIS leader and said, are you on the side of God and doing the right things for society? And he said, yes, I am. Would you get a straight line for yes or a wavy line if he was lying?
Oh, you'd probably get a straight line for yes.
Thank you. My point exactly. Thanks, Christine. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Keith in Schenectady. Keith, you're on.
Yes, hi, Hong. How are you?
Hey.
So my comment is so many people supporting Trump, and I think that's reflecting sort of American population, not the whole American population, but large part of it, because, as you mentioned, he's 3 points away from Hillary Clinton. So a lot of his ideology is supported by a lot of people.
You bet.
So that's my comment.
Whoa. Who are they?
I have no idea.
Somebody called earlier and said they're the new moral majority. They're the silent majority. Are they?
I don't know. But I think things like Black Lives Matter is very much correlating with this. And I think
Why is that?
Well, because I think what people say and what people do are two different things.
Well, I think that's true. You know, there have been some interesting demographic studies here, Keith, one of which shows that the more education you have, the more likely you are not to believe Trump's rhetoric.
I agree completely, and I think there are a lot of people
who don't have a lot of education who are on the other side. Now, are you scared by that?
Very much so. I mean, everybody said, again, going back to Nazis and stuff like that, I think that's what's happening. But I think Trump is not an issue. I think the population that's supporting him is really more of an issue.
Okay. Keith, thanks for the good call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. And we'll go to Bradley. All right, Bradley, your turn.
A couple things. I was thinking about Timothy McVeigh. He seemed like he and his partner were religious extremists. They weren't Muslim. They were assuming Christian.
Yeah, it's been offset. Okay, your point is?
My point is that a lot of people do things that they get wound up in their religions. I don't know why, to the degree that they do.
Well, there are those people who think religion is a bad thing because it leads to this kind of thing.
I don't myself, and I also, I would, by the way, vote for Bernie Sanders, just so you know.
Well, let me stop you there and ask you whether all of this has hurt or helped Bernie's candidacy.
I don't think it has hurt him. I haven't heard too much about him.
I think it's absolutely hurt his candidacy. I think it has hurt
his
candidacy.
You know, we haven't heard too much about Bernie in this whole thing. So yeah. I guess in that sense, in that point, it has hurt him.
Yeah.
Although we haven't heard too much from Hillary either.
No, we've heard her responding. She's been all over the place responding directly to Trump.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Hey, Bradley.
Well, I disagree with Mr. Trump's comment, by the way. I think that
okay, great.
We really should not be having this kind of comment.
Thank you, Bradley. Okay.
All right, bye.
And we'll go to Tom in Catskill. Tom in Catskill, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that it might be interesting if Trump were to call for a ban on gun sales to Muslim Americans. I think that would create quite a conundrum for the Republicans.
It's interesting. You mean only on Muslims, of course.
Only on Muslim Americans.
I don't think that would work. I don't think it would pass muster. I don't think, although this is a strange Supreme Court, I don't think it
would.
Well,
I'm saying if Trump called for it, I just think
it would be an interesting
conundrum for the Republicans.
You mean the act of calling for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take a short break, and that'll give us lots of time to finish the program for the last third of the program. It'll only take seconds, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years. Stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, holiday gift sets in stock now. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, educating children pre-K through grade 12 and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning. WaldorfSaratoga.org. Cowan's Auctions, accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. Cowans.com for appointments. Kingsway Community, Schenectady, New York, offering a continuum of care and services to area seniors since 1975, including assisted living, memory care, and more. Caring in the family tradition, 518-393-8800. And Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, featuring handmade wreaths and kissing balls, roping, greens, and fresh-cut Christmas trees for holiday decorating, plus gift cards for the gardener. Whitney'sFarm.com.
Thanks, Zach. We're back. Okay, Robert says, of course he doesn't care. Look at all the publicity, including WAMC, he's getting. Does anyone have a brain in this country? Block Muslims? How could anybody actually do this? Preposterous. We can't secure our border with Mexico. And that's Bob from East Nassau. I would point out, Bob, for whatever it's worth, I hope it's not being too defensive, there are those people in this country who think that when you get somebody who says stuff like what I consider to be so un-American, that you've got to give it you've got to expose it to the oxygen. Otherwise, it happens and nobody says boo. In any case, all right, let's, Alan, spelled wrong. Since we're talking right now about twisting the facts, let's just two things straight. Al Gore won the popular vote. True, true. Two, Gore lost the presidency because of the Supreme Court. True, true. That's from Chris. Okay. Let's go back to the phones now, and Ed in Tieringham. Okay, Ed, you're in. You're on.
Hello, Dr. Shartok.
You can call me Alan. Go ahead.
Okay, Alan. Another great job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Trump comes from the milieu known as reality television, which is never reality, coincidentally.
I agree.
And unfortunately, is part of a larger dumbing down of the American public.
True.
He's taking advantage. His appeal dovetails with the magical thinking of the far religious Republican right and their fears that they are being undone, not by the people they think are undoing them, but by the contracting American pie. It is jeopardizing a lot of people's dreams about what America ought to be for them and their children, and it's just not working for reasons that have nothing to do with what they think. This is policy by cliche. And I think it bodes, this is really dangerous.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
I subscribe to virtually every word you've said, Ed.
Goodness, that really scares me.
Well,
I think I might be right.
Yeah, I am so sorry for that. Okay, Ed, thanks for calling. Appreciate
Thank you, sir. Good day.
All right, let's go to Bennett in Newburgh. Bennett, you're on.
Hi, Alan. A couple of times today you made the statement that Trump is only 3 points away from Hillary.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and I don't have the polls in front of me, but I'd like to suggest that Bernie would have a better shot than Hillary. I know that might seem counterintuitive to some who think that, well, you know, you want to be as centrist as possible, but I base it on this. Bernie is galvanizing the youth, much as Obama did. And this is despite his getting minimal press coverage and really lukewarm support, even from those who are supporting him in the media. And I think that if by some miracle, and I do agree it's an extreme long shot, he were to get the Democratic nomination, and if the full strength and power of the Democratic machinery and megaphone were to go out and support him and explain to the people why he's a real Democrat, in the old, grandest, finest tradition of the party, I think that he would crush any of the Republicans. Do you think that's even remotely possible? Is there any?
Well, no, I don't know. I want to let your comments stand, Bennett, because you know you deserve that. On the other hand, as you know, I'm a big Bernie person, and I like him very much, and I know him, and I've interviewed him maybe hundreds of times. I don't know how many times, but a lot. But he is so far behind Hillary in the polls right now, he's going to have to look up to look down. So I don't see how it happens.
It's difficult. I'll grant you that. But I do think that part of the reason he's so down in the polls is that there's a perception that if Bernie gets the nomination, he'll be beaten easily by any of these whack jobs from the Republican Party. And I just don't think that's the case at all. You know, I talk to hundreds and hundreds of people every week about Bernie because I campaign for him. I sell buttons and give buttons away. And I can tell you, I am stunned at how few people have a knee-jerk reaction against the socialist part of his resume. People hardly ever talk about it. They'll talk about it being too old. They'll talk about a lot of things. But I think that there's a lot more
receptivity out there in the public to major systemic reform than people realize.
Bennett, he did not give that major speech the other day on democratic socialism because he didn't think people were oblivious to democratic socialism. They're polling. They know it's dangerous for him. They do.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's no question. It's one of the many crosses that he has to bear.
Right.
Being a secular Jew from Brooklyn doesn't help either. But people like Bernie. They like him when they meet him, and they like him when they hear what he has to say. Hillary, not so much. There's a tremendous...
Could be. Hey, Ben, I got to let you go. Everybody's lined up behind you. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
we'll go to Susan in Dutchess County. Susan, you're on.
Hi. Well, I think I would be fine if what Bennett said came true. And I do think that there could be a possibility, but I don't know.
That Bennett said it, you take heart. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was certainly an optimistic thought. And
right.
And I'm a Hillary supporter, but I often wish she'd lean a little bit more toward Bernie, you know. So
sure.
But this Trump thing, I mean, he bothered me before he ran for anything because he's such a mixed bag. He's like a flickering light or something. I always thought of him as very slippery, and yet it was a contradiction because he's so solidly you can't move him, you know, because of all the money, and he's so there. He's like a tree stump or something. But on the other hand, he has this slippery thing, and I'm wondering, you know, if he even made any progress here, what about all his family and what are they doing now and are they being quiet about all this? You know, he has four kids and, I mean, I don't want to bring any children, but his children are grown mostly. And even though he has ex-wives, I think that, you know.
Okay, got it, Susan, but what's the point? What are you trying to say?
I mean, who's supporting him? I mean, among his own group, who's going to benefit from this? Who's saying, yeah, that'll be great, keep at it.
Half the country.
Well, you think he's just going by that? You don't think he's got his own machine working?
No.
And,
No, I do not.
Okay.
No, I do not.
That's kind of good to hear because I know he has a brother here in Dutchess County, and there are other ones around. I just think it's funny usually when there's a politician that's fairly local, been in New York this long, you usually hear about, like, oh, well, the other person has a, you know, whatever, they have a brewery.
Okay.
I'm not hearing anything like that about Trump.
Okay, a point made, Susan. Thank you for your very good call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Sam in Albany. Sam, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a point that Donald Trump very haphazardly just said Muslims altogether. But the fact is, there have been many Muslims who have been killed by ISIS than anyone. And lumping them all together is just showing that you can take advantage of vulnerable minds who are not just here, but as a previous caller said, angry.
Okay, your connection, Sam, is not good. However, I take your point. It's an interesting point that more Muslims have been killed than anybody else by ISIS. And those people who were forming up to have a phalanx against Muslims ought to remember that.
Right. And the Muslims, I see how he's just taking advantage of vulnerable minds, I feel, at a point where we all are very vulnerable and we all have a sense of fear and we all have a sense of anger as well. So,
okay. Sam, if your connection was better, I would let you stay on longer. It really stinks, but you don't. You're terrific. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Caleb in Cohoes. Caleb, you're on.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Thanks for taking the call.
Right.
I guess I just wanted to comment. One of your callers earlier mentioned that she was hoping that America wouldn't allow Trump. I know that I've kind of dropped out of the voting scene because I didn't want to vote against anyone. I'd like to vote for somebody. I'd love to vote for Bernie, but I would be willing to vote against Trump to try and make sure that that couldn't happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting point. Really is.
I'm sure there's other people like me out there.
So in other words, you're telling us that you're not a traditional voter, but you would get off your yes to vote if it meant keeping Trump out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't consider me not voting to be a lazy thing. I mean, if there was somebody I was really gunning for, I'd be in there voting. But I had to stop because I was voting against people, and I didn't feel like that was the right way for democracy.
Okay, just make sure you're registered, okay?
Yep, okay. Did that. Thank you.
Thanks, Caleb. All right. 1-800-348-2551. We will go to Cooper in Pownal. Okay, Cooper.
Hey there, Al. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to let you know I respect Trump a lot just for the fact that he kind of pushes political correctness aside in his language and stuff like that. And I think this whole country overall is being smothered by political correctness.
Okay, wait. Okay, now you said it. Let me talk to you about it for a minute. Okay, so somebody comes in and tells a racist joke or in the workplace. There's a black guy working in the workplace. Yep. You're telling me that there's too much political correctness?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? What if they were telling a joke about you and whatever your particular, orientation is? I mean, I think there is something to be said about political correctness, and none of us are excused, to be honest with you, from the very beginning. But in all honesty, there used to be jokes about Jews, there used to be jokes about Italians, used to be jokes about... This is very hurtful stuff, isn't it?
I don't really think that it is. And, you know, I mean, it's a joke, you know. But the thing when it comes to running the country and then even just like, you know, trying to fight wars and stuff, once it becomes a political correct thing, wars are not politically correct. They're not correct in many ways. But to try to structure a war in a politically correct way, I mean, you're just basically setting yourself up on the losing end of the losing side.
You know, Cooper, what Freud was supposed to have said about jokes, right?
What's that?
There is no joke. So if somebody tells you that kind of thing, it is, in so many ways, destructive. I mean, I don't see how you get around the fact that, you tell a lesbian joke or you tell a gay joke or you tell that this is harmful stuff. No?
Well, first of all, people even listening to it should realize that it's a joke. Okay? But when it comes to running the country and stuff like that, you know, it's not a joke. You have to say it the way it is and say what you honestly feel inside and do what you think you have to do to accomplish your goals, regardless of the correctness of it.
Well, but see, some of the great despots in history have thought that, too. You say anything you want. You know, one of the things that really gets me about Trump are all those people who say, you know, I really like the fact that he just says what he thinks. But then they don't tell you, they don't evaluate what he thinks. I mean, what if you were born a Muslim and couldn't, and faced prejudice every day of your life, or your kids couldn't go to school without getting beaten up? What about that?
Well, I'm not in that situation, so I really can't.
No,
relate.
You're not.
But I think that.
But you got to put yourself in the other guy's place, Cooper. That's the whole point. Thank you, Cooper. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. Right, bye. We'll go to John in Spiegeltown. John in Spiegeltown.
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
Hey, John, you broke the rule. Turn the radio off.
Sorry about that. Okay. I was listening to you.
Okay, go ahead. What up?
Yeah, so listen, unintended consequences of third parties. You got me going with Al Gore and Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw an interview with Ralph Nader where...
He denies it. He denies everything. Right. Always has.
The reporter asked him, hey, listen, did your candidacy lead to, the Gulf War? Is that an unintended consequence of your candidacy?
Yeah.
And was it worth it? As much as we don't like the notion of Trump starting a third party, or we may like that, in that it may be the end of his candidacy. His viability towards being a president, what would be the unintended consequences of that as well?
Okay.
What are the unintended consequences of even his dialogue?
Okay.
And global warming, those sorts of issues.
Okay, John. John from Spiegeltown, thanks for calling. I'm trying to get everybody in. Okay, let's go to Helen. Helen in Del Mar. Okay.
Hi, Alan. I was listening. I think that Trump can't win.
Okay.
I think just like Mitt Romney could not win, he had no minority votes. You cannot have you can't win an election without minority votes today.
And are you sure?
I'm not positive.
That one minority can't be put against another minority?
I don't think so. I don't think. I think that people have certain sensitivities, and I don't think any of the minorities in this country are going to vote for him. I really don't.
From your mouth to whatever.
Well, okay. I don't know. You can't be positive. But.
Helen, I just want to remind you, Hitler could not win. Hitler could not win. Everybody said he couldn't win. There were Jewish families who stayed there because they said the guy's a clown. He can't win, right?
Yes. And
right.
It is scary. It is scary.
I want to leave you with that, Helen. Thank you very much.
But I don't think he can win. All right.
And you know what I think? I think he can win.
That doesn't mean I think
he's gonna win. It means he can win.
But I did think, just like Prairie Home Companion, and I said this way back when he started spewing hate, I said, "Oh, he's there to make sure Hillary gets elected." Okay.
Okay, Helen. Thanks a lot. Yeah,
you're welcome.
We'll go to Jim in Albany. Jim, real quick. How you doing?
Hey, Helen, good show. Correct my math, but I think 19-1 would be the vote against Trump on this latest issue about who should get into the country. How does 19-1 put that one in a majority? I can't figure that out.
Wait. You don't know that it's 19-1.
Well, I'm just guessing. What would you say, Alan?
I have no idea.
I'd say 19-1.
I haven't seen the polls. And I'm going to tell you something else, Jim, for whatever it's worth. A lot of people will not tell their pollsters or their mothers or their fathers what they're really thinking. They get in that voting booth and they do what they think they want to do, but they don't tell people what they're going to do. And especially the more racist it is, the more homophobic it is, the more likely that that's the case.
True, Alan, and it's a really great program. And can I make one last thing,
sure.
Okay?
Go.
We're going to take 60% of the Electoral College votes, just like we did last time. Barack Obama, whoever runs for the Democrats, will get 60% of the Electoral College votes.
Okay.
Good luck.
That's your prediction. Thank you, Jim. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, we'll go to Dave in Pittsfield. Dave, you're on.
How are you today? First of all, I wanted to say how my heart is broken for the families out in San Bernardino. It's a tragedy.
Yep.
Second of all, Mr. Trump is getting exactly what he wanted, is more publicity.
Yep.
And as far as the electorate, I think unfortunately, if we have a few more attacks in this country, the Democrats are seen weak on defense. And whoever the Republicans run are going to beat any Democrat. And if it's going to be Trump, Rubio, there goes your minority vote that they're going to pick up. Also,
what do you mean there goes your minority vote they're going to pick up? Why? Why do they pick it up?
Very popular Latino community.
Oh, you mean Rubio?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You could run Clarence Thomas for president of the United States. He wouldn't get a lot of black votes.
I think that, you know, the Democrats are seen as weak on defense. And unfortunately, I don't think we've seen the end of what's going to happen in this country. And in between now and November of next year, if something happens, it's going to push people more towards
the Republican
side.
You could be right. Yeah, you could be right.
And also,
no, David,
when's the last time you had two? When's the last time you had back-to-back Democrats after an eight-year term?
Uh-huh, that's right. Okay, David, thank you very much. Let's go to Jared in Pownell. Okay, listen, Jared, it's got to be real quick. Go ahead.
Hey, Alan, I'll be real quick. Yep, I think that Trump's a fearmonger playing to the insecurities of a scared populace, and the amount of support that he's getting with his hate rhetoric makes me scared and ashamed to be an American.
Well, thank you for your statement. Appreciate that. Okay, listen, we cannot take any more calls. Jared, thank you for calling. Robert from Little Falls wanted to talk about political correctness, but not today. We should have a show on political correctness. And Bruce from Middletown, who predicts that Trump won't last. We are out of time. Thanks, everybody who called. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1939, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com, the Schenectady County Historical Society, presenting Festival of Trees with the YWCA, featuring a collection of lit holiday trees through December 13th, SchenectadyHistorical.org for information. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, 800-342-3661. Capital Wine, corner of State and Lark Streets, Albany, announcing book signing with winemaker J. Stephen Cassells, author of Grapes of the Hudson Valley, December 18th, 6 to 9 p.m., CapitalWineAlbany.com. Thanks for joining us again. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Susie Chekai. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now, everybody, for a news update.